Please get your Bibles out. I'm going to invite Michon up, who will be bringing our Bible reading to us this morning. Thanks, Michon.
Today's reading comprises three passages, each from the book of Mark. The first is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Move on to Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And moving on to Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Morning, everyone. Well, good to be back up here. It's been a while, hasn't it? I haven't preached for about 7 weeks or 8 weeks, but we've been served well. They say when preachers don't get to preach much and they stop preaching, their prayers before meals get longer and longer. Well, I'm glad that I'm back here preaching. My prayers won't be that long. But we had the Jesus the Game Changer sermon series. I think we were served well. We had some good positive feedback about that, and also the weekend away last weekend was fantastic. Thank you for those who got involved in preparing for that. Well, as Tim mentioned earlier, we are starting a new sermon series called Followers and Witnesses, it is based on our church mission. And Tim again reminded you, I was going to quiz you on that, but Tim reminded you of our mission statement. If you missed it, Here it is, our mission, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Our mission is to glorify God by living as Jesus' followers and witnesses. Our mission, the reason why we exist, is not to glorify ourselves, our band or our programs, or to promote our building. No, our mission is to glorify God. And everything that we do and say here, we want to see God being honored, God's name being highlighted. But it also identifies, isn't it, that we need help. We need to be guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who will show us, and He will enable us, and He will free us to glorify God in the proper way. And how will we glorify God? By living as Jesus' followers and witnesses. So in November, the next few weeks, we will look at what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We'll look at topics like denying ourselves and learning and the cost of following Jesus. And then in December, we are going to think about being witnesses of Jesus. We'll look at topics like serving, loving, giving, going and being. So that's the plan. And hopefully we will get through that. And Tim and Ed's going to help me as well as we preach this sermon series in the next couple of months. So before we go any further, let's pray and commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for the opportunity for us to sit under your word. And Lord, we want you to speak to us. We want you to transform us, especially, Lord, as we think about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus. May our hearts be tuned, may our eyes be open, ears be opened, and Lord, that you will do the work of transforming us into the image and the likeness of Jesus this morning. And we ask this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, if you were with us over the past few weeks, we spent some time thinking about how Jesus was the game changer. He was the history changer. His life and teaching had a huge impact and influence in changing how the society worked. We thought about how Jesus treated every human being equally. He showed what it looks like to care for the vulnerable, how to treat women and children with dignity, and how to he promoted humility as a virtue of being an effective leader. And then lastly, we also looked about forgiveness, isn't it? He showed what it means to forgive from your heart, forgive your enemies. And finally, we saw Jesus challenging his disciples to be good stewards of the wealth, the resources that God has given us. Now, these are just a few ways how Jesus has changed the way society operates. Now, this same Jesus, we hear making a very basic, simple, but powerful, life-changing call to every human being. And he says, follow me. Follow me. It's not a call to follow him on the socials. It's not a call to follow him from the stands. It's not a call even to be a spy. Because that's what people do today, isn't it? They're followers, but from a distance. They know stuff about Jesus. They have pictures of Jesus. They are fans of Jesus, but they might even be able to quote some things of Jesus. But and to follow Jesus according to Jesus, and as we saw over the weekend, some of you who were there will remember this, to follow Jesus is actually to be with Jesus, to be like Jesus and to do what Jesus did. So in the next few weeks, we will explore this a bit more. But this morning, I want to spend a bit of time where the very first time that Jesus uses this call, follow me, in Mark's Gospel. So if you have your Bibles again, please keep it open to Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. We're going to spend the bulk of our time in these verses. The very first thing that we will notice in this passage is who is initiating this following. Who initiates the following? I told in verse 14, after John the Baptist had been put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And he says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. God is about to fully and finally deal with sin and brokenness and death. He was about to press the restart button and make everything new. And how would he do that? As we read the Gospels, we find he does that. He's doing that through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the good news, isn't it? Jesus is the good news of God. Now, people of Israel, they were waiting for this good news. Because it had been promised years and years and years ago, centuries ago, but no one was actively looking for it. So here we find Jesus makes the first move. He initiates, he announces, he comes and reveals and exposes this great good news that God is about to make everything new. Now, if you were at the weekend away, you would remember this as well. If you wanted to be a follower of a rabbi in Jesus' day, you had to initiate the process. You had to request a rabbi to take you as one of his disciples or followers or students. And he would test you, he would grill you to see if you would qualify to become one of his disciples. Because one day you would actually represent him. But the very first disciples of Jesus, they didn't go looking for Jesus, did they? Jesus went looking for them. Verse 16, he was walking along the lake, Sea of Galilee. And he sees Simon and Andrew casting a net and he says, come follow me. And in verse 19, he went a little bit farther along and he sees James and John, sons of Zebedee. And they were getting ready to go fishing. They were preparing the nets. And Jesus says, come follow me. We come to chapter 2, verse 14, where Jesus again goes for a walk along the lake. And he sees Levi, this tax collector, sitting in his booth doing his job. And he says, come follow me. Again, do you see who is making the first move? It is Jesus who initiates, isn't it? And did you notice where these encounters take place? It takes place where these ordinary men and women lived and worked, right? And as one of the commentators wrote, he says, when Jesus, as God's Son, initiates human fellowship, the encounter takes place not on his ground or even on the holy ground or of a synagogue or a temple, but on their ground in the working world of boats and nets and labor from dawn to dusk. You see, Jesus, like this good shepherd, he leaves the 99 and he goes after the one lost sheep to bring him home. You see, our following is His initiative, isn't it? If you think about it, we are all here as followers of Jesus, not because we initiated it, because He did. None of us can take credit for being a follower of Jesus. And He placed some of us in His sovereign wisdom and knowledge and love, some of us in Christian families. He made us meet Christian friends or colleagues or neighbors who shared the good news of Jesus with us. He makes us go for walks and find a church. He made us hear the good news, and He makes the first move. And during the weekend, we had a couple of guys, Phil and Erin, who shared their stories. Wonderful stories of how God made the first move in their lives through Jesus. And even today, Jesus is doing the same, isn't it? He's at work. He's initiating, meeting people, nudging people, and opening their eyes and ears and minds to the good news, not necessarily inside the church, but in schools, in our offices, in our marketplaces, in train stations, and in coffee shops. As we heard during the weekend away, God wants you and me, ordinary people, to be part of His work. His work of making first moves, initiating conversations. He wants to use you and me to do His wonderful work of moving in people's lives, to share His love, His blessings, and to share the good news so He can bring people into His kingdom. Now I wonder, where has God placed you today? And how might God be calling you to partner with Him in His initiating work? Now, what does Jesus do, or what does Jesus ask us to do when He comes after us? Now, some people have this misunderstanding, isn't it, that we can be part of God's kingdom without doing anything. It's just a free pass that Jesus hands out. Now, listen to what Jesus says in verse 15 of Mark chapter 1. He says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near." And He doesn't say, "All right, everyone, you're now part of God's kingdom. Enjoy and rejoice." No, He says, to be part of God's kingdom, you need to do something. You and I must do something. He says, repent and believe the good news. Repent means to make a U-turn, isn't it? Stop going the wrong way. Stop following your own desires and your dreams and pleasures. Stop following your own rules. Stop living as we are the boss. Stop living as God doesn't exist. Repent, turn around, He says, and believe in the good news. As we saw earlier, what is the good news? Jesus is the good news, isn't it? Jesus is the good news. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, when you have made a U-turn from following your own godless ways, we must turn to Jesus. Instead of following our own dreams and desires and pleasures and rules, we must start following Jesus and live His way for His glory, doing His will. Instead of believing in ourselves And what we can do to fix ourselves, we must believe in Jesus and what He has done and will do. To be part of God's kingdom, to enjoy His blessings now and eternity, we must repent and believe, isn't it? Or simply, we can also say, follow Jesus. follow Jesus. And if you are not a Christian yet, this is where your journey begins. By repenting and believing in Jesus, by following Jesus. Now, most of you here are Christians, and you have been Christians for a while. And this shouldn't be something that we did once upon a time, long time ago in our life. It must be something that we do every single day for the rest of our life. Because I don't know about you, but every day I feel the urge, the nudge, the temptation to do things my way. Ignore God and trust my own instincts. To think about me. To think about my fears and my future, my glory and my shame, my worry. And if you are slightly like me, then every day, my friends, we need to make a decision to repent and follow Jesus. Every day we must decide to turn away from following our own ways and start following Jesus. Don't be afraid of the word repent. It is a good thing for Christians. It is a necessary thing for Christians. Because it is where we start following Jesus. Now, he calls us to become followers of Jesus. So how should we repent? How should we respond? How should we respond? And that is, we heard the call. And we see the very first disciples. They obeyed. Right away. Now, this is remarkable, isn't it? This is remarkable. Imagine you are putting clothes on the clothesline. Or you're cooking meal. And then somebody comes, says, hey, come follow me. A stranger, a total stranger. Would you do that? I wouldn't do that. But here, according to Mark, to these men, Jesus was a total stranger. They don't know anything about him. They haven't seen any miracles. Jesus doesn't perform any miracles, say, ta-da, come follow me. They haven't heard him teach. He hasn't given them reasons, all right, these are the reasons that you should follow me. Yet then they hear the invitation to come and follow me. They didn't ask questions. They don't ask Jesus, come on Jesus, give us some credentials. They don't stop to say, all right, I need to just take some time here to compare Jesus with all what I've learned so far and all my other teachers. They don't debate. But immediately, they obey Jesus, don't they? They leave their jobs. They leave their families, their reputation, their wealth, their fears, their past behind. And they place their future, their hopes, their lives in the hands of this total stranger. You see what they're doing? They stop following their own ways and they start following Jesus. Repent. And believe. And Jesus, I mean, he doesn't require them to complete a Christianity Explored course. He doesn't ask them to pass a theology test, or he doesn't ask them, what is your IQ, or what is your EQ? He doesn't require them to know anything about him to follow him. Why? Because they will get to know Jesus as they follow him. That is the plan. You'll get to know Jesus as you follow him. Perhaps this morning, there are some of you who are afraid and hesitant to take that step of obedience, step of faith. You might be thinking, well, I don't know much about this Jesus. I don't know enough to follow him. Perhaps you're wondering of the consequences of your decision. Well, let me tell you, if that is you, you are in great company. Because the very first disciples, they didn't know anything about Jesus. But they followed him. They got to know Jesus as they followed him. And they became like Jesus. And they did the things Jesus did. So I'm going to challenge you, if that is you, why don't you take that step of faith? Step of obedience today and see what happens. And see what happens. And if you are a follower of Jesus, again, most of you are, keep following him every day, one obedient step at a time. Because the deal with Jesus is, we won't know him unless we follow him. We won't become like him unless we follow him. And we won't certainly do anything like him unless we follow him. And finally, who can follow Jesus? Who can follow Jesus? Here in Mark chapter 1 and again in Mark chapter 2, we hear Jesus calling the first disciples. They were Jewish fishermen, business people. And Jesus calls them. And if we were thinking, all right, Jesus is calling just a select group of people, in Mark chapter 8, we hear Jesus saying to the crowds and to the disciples, says, whoever wants to be my disciples or disciple or a follower, which means, friends, the invitation is open for everyone. Everyone. God doesn't discriminate. Young and old, male, female, fishermen, tax collectors, businessmen, religious people, not so religious people, doubters, educated, uneducated, people from every nation and tribe. Aren't we a witness to that? If you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or an atheist, you're all invited to follow Jesus. But he says, the only way you can enter God's kingdom is by following Jesus, following him. Repent and believe in Jesus. You're all invited. So would you follow Jesus? Would you follow Jesus? Not just for one day, not just long time ago, but every single day of your life, to the rest of your life. Would you follow Jesus? In a moment, we are going to take part in communion. But before that, I want to give us a moment to reflect on what we've just heard. Perhaps you might want to respond to something the Holy Spirit has nudged or prompted you to do or think about. Because he's always at work, isn't he? He's always at work. He's the one who moves first. So allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you for the next little couple of moments, and then I'll pray. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we heard familiar words. Lord, sometimes the words that we just gloss over because we've heard them many times. Lord, we thank you for the call to follow Jesus. Because it is in following Jesus that you invite us and you allow us to enter your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that you have opened a way for us through Jesus to be part of your kingdom, to be your friends, to be your sons and daughters. And so, Father, help us this morning, Lord, to respond to you well, to be obedient, Lord, to make that commitment to follow you every day of our lives till the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.